Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts, michaelsflooringoutlet.com.
And welcome to Overnight America. Wow. It's been a few days, hasn't it? I want to thank our guest host, Kevin Wheeler, who spent some time in here. I was down the hall at our sister station, so they needed me to go and do a couple of morning shows for 97.1 because of... It's so strange how this works out in radio. When you take a day off, it always seems to be around the time when something big's about to happen. So our sister station needed some help, so I moved down there. And yeah, it sounds like you guys enjoyed the last week, but feels good to be back here at KMOX. We're still trying to figure out how we're going to handle working from home, if we do, if we don't. Some reporters are working from home or working mobily. Here, I'm still in the studios in downtown St. Louis. Pretty bare outside. I mean, there are some cars parked, and you see some cars drive by every now and then, but you don't really see the same level of traffic on the roads. If you are driving right now, it's 11:07 in St. Louis, Missouri. We're live, so you can call us. Maybe you are self-quarantined. Maybe you're just at the house and you're bored silly. Whatever it is, we'll have some things to do here tonight. So we'll give you the very latest on what's going on. I also want to take your calls, and we're going to keep an eye out for what's going on when it comes to this negotiation between the Democrats and Republicans. Not doing so well at the moment. The big stimulus package they were hoping to sign today, not so much. We'll talk about that too. And a couple of boo-hoos, which is, stop your whining, coming up to 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Maybe you're just getting a little, tired of social distancing. Maybe you're just upset in general with the way things are going. You just want to talk about it tonight, we can. Our friend Drex is coming up at 12:30. We do that on Sunday nights, but really that's the only scheduled guest that we have for now. Yeah, so I get the message from the program director earlier, and it, a lot of times you hear about certain people getting set up with some home capabilities, and it looks like I may be doing this show from my house in the near future, depending on the way this thing goes. Sometimes it's part of working for a larger company, and they want to take a lot of precautions. And I think part of the precautions that they want to take is just to make sure not all of our hosts get sick at one time. Whoa, wouldn't that be? Imagine if every single personality on this radio station just got sick. It would be devastating. So they want to move us apart. And I think that's part of the strategy. I don't know if our sister stations are going to be doing that. But, since we work with other people, I think the producers stay here, so the producers can infect themselves and the radio people will infect their families, and I guess that's the way it'll go. So if you haven't heard, and you probably know this already, so it was announced yesterday. It was seemed like Saturday morning. Mayor Crewson, along with County Executive Dr. Sam Page, released a statement saying that they're going to require people to stay at home when possible. Now, when that report came out, the interesting part of the report was that it seemed like that's the standing order to begin with. It seemed like we were already under this sort of social distancing. So they took the federal guideline of 10, and there's some countries, I think it's Germany right now, says no more than two. Two? What do you mean no more than two? But we have now in the city and the county certain restrictions in place, but they say that, you can still go to the pharmacy and the grocery store and you can still pick up food and, you can do these sort of things. Things that you were already allowed to do to begin with, but it's just a little bit stricter, as in, I don't know if more people are... This is basically, since a lot of the different work situations we've seen so far, people have decided we can find a way for them to work at home. And that's no problem. that's nice about our economy. That's nice about having a country where people have that spirit where they want to keep going. They want to save their company. They want to work for their business. And, you know, they have something to fight for. So what do they say? We need to adapt. Here's what's going to be a difficult thing in the next month or two. And we need to adapt. And they've been finding ways to do so. I think this is a way to push it in a direction where the employers know that, hey, the employees have an excuse to stay at home. You better get on the bandwagon and start working from home right now. So that's where we're at. Traffic-wise, my wife was out and picked up a grocery order. And when she was driving back, she said, I don't ever remember the highways being so open. It was like there was no one out. It was wonderful. She said, I wish it was like this all the time. So let's take a couple of your calls here. And really, I want to keep things open. Like I said, the only guest we have scheduled is at 12:30 with our friend Drex. We'll get an update when we connect Canada and the United States. Let's go to Brian in St. Louis. Welcome to Overnight America.
Hi.
Hi, Brian. What's going on?
I'm driving back from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I visited my son and helped him. He's a student down there. And there was more semis on the road than cars.
Oh, wow.
All the way back, 5 hours on the road. Yeah.
Wait, so your son's no longer in class, though, right?
Right. So we were, I went down to move him back, and then he actually got a waiver to stay on his apartment.
Oh, I see.
He decided to stay down there, but he's going to pretty much be by himself. There's hardly any, campus was completely empty.
Oh, wow. So instead of coming home to live with you or something like that, he decided to stay at the school.
Right.
No. Oh. Why did he do that, if you don't mind me asking?
He just, he's working on some computer stuff, and he has better system to do that. And I think he only has 8 weeks left before he would leave for an internship, so.
So he wants to make the most of that time.
Yeah, and he has a dog. He doesn't want to. We wouldn't really have the ability for him to bring his dog home.
So. What a good boy. Well, one of the nice things about going and working, isolating yourself, it's kind of like what the writers do. They find that cabin in the middle of a forest, and it seems their productivity skyrockets. So maybe he's hoping for one of those moments of inspiration.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Have a safe trip.
Thank you.
Yeah, Brian on the road, seeing a lot of semis. The semis are keeping this country together right now. There's an article from the Detroit Free Press that talks about all the semi drivers right now working like crazy, not allowed to get sick because they are transporting some well-needed goods to all kinds of stores, even here in St. Louis. Let's go down to Georgia with Floyd. Welcome to Overnight America.
Good evening.
I'm sorry, Floyd, you're kind of cutting out there. Can you say that again?
How's everybody up there in St. Louis?
Oh, we're doing good now. Yeah, St. Louis is okay. We just had updated numbers here. So, you know, the numbers are rising, but it's nowhere near what you're seeing in some of these other large cities. What about you?
Well, we're about an hour north of Atlanta, and it's fairly country up here. It's just strange with the school shut down, and it's weird, to say the least.
Yeah, what's Atlanta at right now? Let me see if I can find it. I got the map up. I can find it. You know, I have a hard time hearing. Sounds like your phone's cutting in and out a little bit. Is it? Are you on a cell phone?
A little better?
See, that's a little bit better, yes.
Okay. But here, luckily, the fan's all closed. I've got son and daughter-in-law live just up the driveway from us. Other one's about a mile away. We've got one up in New Jersey, Delaware, that area up there. It's kind of strange having them up there.
Yeah, I'm looking at Georgia. So far, Georgia has 23 deaths. One, two, three, fourth most in the United States behind California, Washington, and New York. Looks like New York.
It's probably because everybody's coming through Atlanta through the airport there. It's such a, you know, Hartsfield, the supposedly busiest in the country.
Yeah. Are you self-quarantining yourself?
Well, somewhat. My wife already threw me out of the house.
The wife said, get out of here?
Yeah, I'm an attorney, so we get to kind of go in to see what's happening on the phone calls. They shut down the courts, basically.
Oh, yeah. So what does that mean? What for you? What kind of work
are you doing? It's going to be a zoo when it's opened back up because people are still filing stuff, but nothing's getting served, nothing's getting heard.
Oh, man. So it's just basically getting into a queue. So by the time they open things back up, there'll be a giant queue?
Yeah, we've got one case that finished up in Atlanta the check that's in there for 2 weeks waiting to come out, pre-assigned checks. Other lawyers have emailed, please send us a check.
Oh, wow. All of these things, you're trying to do it the right way, and people are thinking to themselves, the right way is going to be gone for the next couple of months. All right. Hey, Floyd, thank you for calling in. Good to hear from you.
All right. Well, you're listening to y'all every night, too. Take care.
Thank you. Great. Oh, I love that. All the way down in Georgia. I want to take some more of your calls coming in at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So you may be self-isolating right now, but it doesn't mean you have to be by yourself. We'll be live with you tonight until 2 o'clock in St. Louis, Missouri on Overnight America KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Thanks for being here with us. And you know what? If you spend this time with us here, I do want you to know that we are here through these late night hours together. And it's fun to spend these late night hours together, even if it's just for a few hours. You can always go back, listen to it on the podcast if you want. But what's more fun about doing this live is that we get to talk to each other, like in Oklahoma City. Don, welcome to Overnight America.
Yeah. Hi, how's it going?
Doing good.
Good. Hey, I was wondering, I haven't heard what's going on with the baseball players. Are they still in Florida, or are they back here in St. Louis? Or?
What ended up happening was some of them hung out in Florida because they would use the workout facilities there.
Yeah.
But for the most part, a lot of them just went back home.
Yeah.
They just kind of were told by the club, hey, you can go home. We don't know how long this is going to last. But when Major League Baseball made that announcement that they were going to wait at least 8 weeks, that pretty much gave them the indication that they could go home. But a lot of times the facilities that are there, they're isolated. So the players liked it. They felt like they can do it safely and no one else was around. So some of them stayed, but for the most part, they went home.
I wonder, are they going to start back up spring training or?
Yeah, that's what I heard. They're going to redo spring training when they decide to bring it back up. I was talking to Tom Ackerman about this on Thursday morning, and that's basically what he said. They'll start up spring training again. They'll do it all over, and then they'll restart the season, basically.
Wow. I wonder if they have to shorten the season.
I don't know if they've made any decisions yet because they don't even know if they know what they're going to do. They have to wait and see how long it's going to take before they can back and play together again, you know, get large groups together. And whenever that moment happens, I'm sure they have some sort of other plans in place. But I guess they do have the capabilities of playing longer in the season. But then again, some of these really cold areas, could you imagine trying to play baseball? Like, it looks like you're playing up in Green Bay or something. You know, you don't
right.
want that to happen. It's just not possible.
Right.
So I guess there's some ways they can try to jam it in. I mean, it would be pretty physically demanding on the players. Either that or they, I don't know, take some games out and
somebody
do a shortened
was
season.
Saying something about, well, they may have to go back to doubleheaders.
Bunch of doubleheaders. Be a season of doubleheaders. Those players are going to be worked like dogs, won't they?
Yeah.
They get it. Thanks,
yeah.
Don.
Thank you.
314-436-7900. And let's go to Steve in St. Louis. Welcome to Overnight America.
Good evening. This is the first time I've listened to radio this late on a Sunday night before.
Yeah, what brings you to the radio this late then?
Well, geez, there's not a whole lot going on, is there?
Yeah, just about. You sound a little bit soft in the phone. Is your phone away from your mouth?
There we go. How's that?
That's much better. Thank you.
Okay. I just have one real quick question. With everything shut down and everybody in the United States and quite often throughout the world everybody is losing money like crazy through the stock market. Retirements are dwindling to nothing. Education funds are going away completely. With everything shut down, why is nobody calling for closing down the damn stock market?
I don't know if they can. That would be a tough thing to do. They asked that to, who was it that was talking about that?
But didn't we close it after 9/11 for 2 or 3 days?
Yeah, but they said that was because of a technical glitch. So it had to do with the computers. Well, like for something like this, when they were talking about the stock market in general, they said what you don't want to do is say they can't move their money, because I mean that technically is their money and they should be able to do what they want with it. So to tell someone, it would almost be like closing the banks down, and you know how damaging that could be. You go back to look at the Great Depression where people couldn't pull their money out. So that's the type of fear you'd want to avoid. So closing the stock market down indefinitely would do that.
Well, what's more fearful? Saying next week we could be down to 8,000 or 9,000 points, or freezing it at 19 or 20, and then when things cool off and the economy might get back going, to start it back up again?
What would be more fearful? So the government telling you can't take your money out of the market?
What would be more fearful? Knowing that the stock market could go down to 8,000 or 9,000 or 10,000 or 5,000? Heck, it could go completely busted. What's more fearful than that in this world?
That's pretty bad. It would be. I think that's what they're doing everything they can to make sure that doesn't happen with the stimulus. So if this thing goes through, and let's say there are testing, like they say at the end of the month, they should have tests out that could tell you within hours, and they found some way to treat this thing by some time before a vaccine, I think those are all things that will bring the economy back to a stable point. But those are signs that it could happen. It's not a great time right now for all that to happen. But, I mean, even go back to, like, 2008 or 9 or whatever it was, weren't we down to, like, 6,500 or something of the Dow Jones? 6,600?
I think the lowest it went was about 7 or 8.
7 or 8. Okay, that's much, much lower.
From 14.
I think that immediately, once we go back to normal and we can start to, you know, not have to live the way we're living right now, I think it's going to bounce right back. And I think that's what they're trying to do, is frantically make sure that we have all of these different safety nets brought out so that we can at least bounce back to that point as soon as the things go back to normal. So
I
think that's
what
they're doing.
I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but you know the Depression started in 29, and we didn't get out of the Depression until the 40s when World War II cranked everything up.
You think we're at the same place as the Depression?
I would say people are going to go a little bit bonkers in a week or two, especially if they shut cities and counties down. I can understand shutting New York down. People are living on top of each other. I can't understand why in the world St. Louis City and St. Louis County are locking themselves down.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that it's only a short amount of time. Thanks, Steve.
Yep. Thanks.
Yeah, if this was a long-term thing, and that's why they're talking about the stimulus could be $2, $3 trillion, which is pretty unbelievable, all things considered. It's trying to make it so that you do have a job to go back to, so we're not in this Great Depression era where everyone's losing their job. That's one of the big intentions here. So you don't go bankrupt. The place that gives you a paycheck will still be able to get you a paycheck. You know, you still have the opportunity to work throughout all of this and not close down all of commerce. I think that's what we're trying to avoid. And if this is just a couple of weeks, I hope that most businesses would be able to get out of just a couple of weeks. Going back to 2018-19, that was devastating for a lot of different companies. And that was much longer when it came to the drops in the markets and the housing market. That was a much longer period than I think we're going to see with the coronavirus. So if companies could try to weather this thing for 3 months, and the ones that need it have the ability to get some loans for, 0% or whatever it is that the government's going to try to offer them and keep them afloat so they don't go bankrupt, and so people do have jobs to go back to. And still then the government finds a way to throw some more money into the market so people are spending still, even in times like this. I think these are all great indicators that will at least bridge some of that gap before we get back to normal through, increased testing, finding a way to treat this, and vaccines, at least in the pipeline, probably faster than we've ever seen. The president says that, but truly, have you ever seen anything move this fast in the medical world? Honestly, it never happens this fast. I think most people are dedicated to defeat this thing as fast as possible, and all the incentives are there. So what about this phase three bill? The Senate cannot agree on it. They are having some issues. So apparently they're still negotiating through these late night hours. They're no longer on the floor debating this sort of thing. But Mitch McConnell, man, he dropped the mic after they didn't vote this thing through. So what's the reason for it? We'll talk about that coming up. And I want to take some more of your calls at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Thanks again for hanging out with us tonight on Overnight America. I got a text message, and it's funny because they were talking about a baseball strike, and Bob Costas and Dan Dierdorf here on KMOX would review different stadium hot dogs and things. I love that. I do remember hearing a story where Dan Dierdorf was talking about that, and what was it? Bob was someone that was inside one of the hot dog stands, and he was someone that surprised him when he was going through it back when it was brand new technology to be able to put some of these remote broadcast equipment inside of a vehicle and do a show while you're driving around. It was pretty new, but hey, spare no expense. It was KMOX back in the heyday. So he was saying that, hey, why don't we do something like that now that there is no baseball? Well, you just heard the promo probably going right into the break, and what a cool thing KMOX is going to be doing, replaying that magical year for the St. Louis Cardinals, and it starts tomorrow night, weekdays at 6, and then I think Saturday, too, and then Sunday at noon. So basically the 30-some games or whatever it was leading up to the end of the season. Pretty awesome that they're going to be doing that. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Means we're going to be on after those games, but there's not really much of a pregame and postgame in those. So either way, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I may be broadcasting from my basement at that time. You may hear my kid yelling and screaming in the upstairs. You never know. But if you haven't seen this, too, if you go to KMOV, St. Louis County officials saying that cases have tripled since Saturday. New people have tested positive. Right now, the total in the county is at 55. Patients range from 10 years old to 70. And they don't give all the specifics, but as you know, if normally someone finds themselves tested positive, they test everyone around them, at least anyone that may come in contact with it. So hopefully you're not getting a phone call. Hopefully it's more isolated. Dr. Sam Page announcing that there was one death on Friday, and I think they also said that person had underlying issues. But, you know, you look at the city, too. In the city, there's other cases that we're monitoring. You go to KMOX.com, you can see it there, too. Every map, I mean, there's so many different maps online that follow this thing anymore. You know what the tough thing is as we speak? Now, the Democrats and Republicans still having some issues trying to get this funding through of what's going to be happening next. What's going to be happening next? Well, you would think that they would be able to work this out in time. But there's a few things I wanted to play for you. And one thing is the full speech from Mitch McConnell earlier. And yes, I do a very good Mitch McConnell if you want to hear it. Or Senator's trying to move this through, but Nancy Pelosi comes through. And I don't know what she's trying to do as part of this process. Well, that's a pretty good Mitch McConnell, I know. It's probably the better. I think my Mitch McConnell's better than my Bernie Sanders. You know what really gave me a hard time was Senator Menendez out of New Jersey. So I'm trying to watch some of the live streams and figure out why the Democrats object to this. And you know what really drove me crazy? So they're using this new buzzword. Hold on. Let me see. I highlighted it. Let me see if I can find it real quick. This is what you're going to see all the Democrats come out tomorrow and use this one word. Where did it go? I had the sheet of paper here a second ago, and I was trying to find it. Here we go. The new buzzword that you're going to have to watch out for, that everyone's going to be the talking heads. I can't find it. Where did it go? Slush fund. Slush fund. So all the Democrats go to the Senate floor and they say, well, we don't want to make a slush fund for billionaires. Slush fund, slush fund, slush fund. That's their new buzzword that they've coordinated. Anytime you see Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer come around, you know they coordinate their message together because most of the people that are left-leaning have a hard time thinking for themselves in moments like this, so they have to get a unified message out there. Maybe you can look at it as one of their strengths. As Democrats, they do a good job of at least getting a unified message. Unfortunately, at a time like this, you want them to look at what the merits are and not have to step around what a Nancy Pelosi wants them to think. And it's actually pretty sad. But I saw Bob Menendez. He was Senator Menendez from New Jersey. There's one thing he did that was pretty telling about them trying to jam in things to this bill that don't belong as part of this bill. And by the way, Mitch McConnell is very upset about it. He was standing up there and he was saying some things that have some merits. You know, he goes, you know, we shouldn't be helping billionaires. We should be helping working people, blah, blah, blah. So, okay, you're saying all the right buzzwords that you need to say. And then he said, we need to forgive student loans. We need to, then he starts naming all of these different things that the Elizabeth Warrens and the Bernie Sanders of the world that they've been running for office on. He starts running down the list, and I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me right now. You are politicizing this. This is the definition of politicizing this. It was very disappointing. Let me bring some Mitch McConnell in here. This is him, and you can tell he was pretty upset by it all.
The American people are watching this spectacle. I'm told the futures market is down 5%. I'm also told that that's when trading stops. So the notion that we have time to play games here with the American economy and the American people is utterly absurd. So I want to explain what just happened. Our good friends on the other side would not have been disadvantaged one bit if this vote had succeeded, because it would have required potentially 30 more hours of discussion, during which these seemingly endless negotiations could go on as long as they would like. Now, the build-up to this, so everybody fully understands, is that we had a high level of bipartisanship in five different working groups over the last 48 hours, where members who were participating were reaching agreement. And then all of a sudden, the Democratic leader and the Speaker of the House shows up. And we're back to square one. So we're fiddling here, fiddling with the emotions of the American people, fiddling with the markets, fiddling with our health care. The American people expect us to act tomorrow. And I want everybody to fully understand, if we aren't able to act tomorrow, it'll be because of our colleagues on the other side continuing to dicker when the country expects us to come together and address this problem. Now, I changed my vote, which gives me the opportunity to move to reconsider at a later time. That's all I can do in the face of this obstruction. Look, I can understand obstruction when you're trying to achieve something. This obstruction achieves nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Other than prevent us from getting into a position where there are literally 30 more hours that they could use to continue to dicker. So at a time when the country is crying out for bipartisanship and cooperation, and we saw that over the last 48 hours when regular members of the Senate, not in the leadership office, not in the Speaker's office, for goodness sake, she's the Speaker of the House, not the Speaker of the Senate. We don't have one. We were doing just fine until that intervention. So I want the American people to fully understand what's going on here. The markets are already reacting to this outrageous nonsense. We have an obligation to the American people to deal with this emergency and to deal with it tomorrow. And if we don't, I want everybody to fully understand, you've seen everybody who's on record. Now, I've conspicuously avoided trying to turn this into any kind of partisan effort for 2 days. But it's pretty clear what's going on here. And we'll have this cloture vote again at some point of my choosing. And hopefully, some adults will show up on the other side of the room and understand the gravity of the situation.
Some adults will show up. That's what I'm talking about. It's Mitch McConnell from earlier today. And I had C-SPAN up, and I was watching some of it, and some of the different speeches. Man, they took their time. They were really distancing themselves. It was almost like, hey, they'd have to leave the Senate floor, and then another one would be able to come in. But that's the thing. Watch for that buzzword that you're going to see over and over and over again, slush fund. So here's what Elizabeth Warren said. We are not here to create a slush fund for Donald Trump and his family or a slush fund for the Treasury Department. Slush fund. I'm telling you, when you watch all the major news, and especially those that are okay with the messaging from the left, they're just going to throw out the buzzword some more. Let me read this to you real quick. And this is from PJ Media, a right-leaning source. So they were talking about it. And here's a quote from The Hill and then a quote from one part of The Hill that is very telling. So it says, Democrats worry the language is vague enough that corporations could take federal help and still fire workers. Democrats also wanted strong restrictions on corporations who take federal help. And the source said that the GOP bill included, quote, very weak, quote, stock buyback restrictions that could be waived. And then they go on and say this. And yeah, I can understand this sort of thing. But even more ominous to Democrats was a Medicaid restriction. And wonder what that restriction would be. Let's find out from The Hill. A Democratic aide said that the small business provision was drafted to exclude nonprofits who receive Medicaid from being eligible for Small Business Administration assistance offered under the bill. That, according to the aide, would impact Planned Parenthood and also community health centers, rape crisis centers, and disability service providers. So what they're saying is, just like over the weekend, just like Nancy Pelosi tried to bring up in the past, oh, what a coincidence. Nancy Pelosi came in and told the senators what to do. Now, she's not even a senator, but she went in and she told the senators, this is what we need to do as a party. We need to get Planned Parenthood back into this thing, just like she tried over the past weekend, which also caused nearly the initial first phase of that bill to fail. Now she's coming in and trying to do it all over again this weekend. What is up with this? So she shows up on the weekend like it's her vacation, trying to lobby for Planned Parenthood and then leaves. And for whatever reason, the senators listen to her. Is that what's going on here again? This is something that you should be very disappointed if you're someone that is looking at this from an outside, from the outside and saying that is one of the reasons this bill is being held up, because you want to get more and more of these, you know, political type of points that the Joe Bidens and the Bernie Sanders will be running on in this year's election. You want to make sure that you hit all of them that you can. So when you go into the election season, you can say, here we are, the Democrats. We stood up for Planned Parenthood. We stood up to get your student loans forgiven. See, we're already getting things done. They want to attach as much as they can into this in order to get their own agenda through. And that should be very telling. They did it last weekend. They're trying to do it again now. But this time, Mitch McConnell's having none of it. You can hear the disappointment in his voice. Well worth repeating here. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
All right, Overnight America for a couple more minutes here. And I do have the text messaging up. Someone sent me a text message for COVID-19 quarantine playlist. Is that right? Are people coming up with songs that work for this time in need when you're at home and you're social distancing from one another, really? Okay. I see how it goes. You know, I tried to do that this weekend. I posted on Twitter, can you come up with some movie titles that describe 2020 so far? And there was that one Clint Eastwood movie, which is Trouble with the Curve. And I thought, that's a pretty good description of what we're going through right now. There are some pretty creative ones. If you want to text me some of those, or if you want to text some songs that we can enjoy in quarantine, 314-436-7900. 7,900. Yeah, maybe I'll go through some of those quarantine songs. Thank you, whoever sent that. I got a couple of boo-hoo stories for you here. You ready for one boo-hoo story? Does anyone feel bad that Harvey Weinstein tested positive in jail for the coronavirus? I should be laughing over that. I should be laughing that Harvey Weinstein got the coronavirus in jail. I know, it's not funny. Stop laughing, Ryan. All right. Oh, here's another one, too. There's in British Columbia. There's a video of this guy, and, you know, it sounds like he gives to charity and does certain things, whatever. He does good and nice things. Up until there was a video of him filling a shopping cart completely from bottom to top and overflowing with meat. He went in and bought an entire grocery store's meat section. And he said, no, I got a good reason for it. I was afraid we're going to run out. So my girlfriend and I, two people, just two, my girlfriend and I needed to make sure we were covered. Come on now. So he's now crying. He's saying, oh, people are giving me a hard time and making fun of me and telling me that I shouldn't have bought out an entire grocery store's worth of meat when everyone's out there trying to find ways. And by the way, British Columbia, Vancouver, we're talking about an area that is stay at home, period. You're not allowed to leave your house. They're being very strict there. Yeah, and then he goes out and buys everything in a moment where he knew everyone else would be trying to at least get a couple of rations and things for them to enjoy in their home so they're not eating ramen noodles. So there he is. Oh, I don't like everyone's giving me a hard time for buying all the meat. It's like the jerks that take all the toilet paper. Let's go to Brian in Cedar Hill. Hi, welcome to Overnight America.
Hi.
What's going on, Brian?
Yeah, the toilet paper thing, that's a bit outrageous, ain't it?
It's too much. You know, you see the people going absolutely bananas for it, and it just drives you crazy.
Well, what I say is what happened years ago when you didn't really have toilet paper, you had to use other means, you know?
How many years do you go back before you are you telling me you've lived in a time where there's no toilet paper?
No, I knew somebody that did, though, you know, older people. Yeah,
well, there was,
I talk to older people more than I do younger people because the people my age don't even make sense to me sometimes.
Yeah, you know, I talk to some people who say, yeah, my grandparents refused to get plumbing in their house, so they still used an outhouse and things like that.
Yeah.
But once in a while, you hear people that just have, for whatever reason in their mind, they're so stubborn, they don't want to use it. I guess that's a possibility that they're laughing at us
now. My grandma told me they were using a Sears catalog.
If they needed to, please. This is something that we're finding where our infrastructure is not prepared for everything that's being flushed right now, where people are finding alternatives to toilet paper. Terrible idea. People are putting all kinds of things down there, and now they're worried if we get a big storm like we're expected to get here, things could go really bad real quick. So please, anyone listening, don't flush anything that shouldn't be flushed. I don't care how messy it is.
Yeah, we just throw in the trash. Just throw it in the trash bag, wrap it up, and throw it in your dumpster.
Throw it in the trash. You know, find no baby wipes. Don't do the paper towels. All that stuff, it's a mess. And it's not going to be worth it when you got to hire a plumber and they got to spend about $600 or $700 to get this thing cleaned out. Not
especially when you may not be able to find a plumber in this situation.
Let's hope that's not the case. All right, Brian, you're calling in. What's going on?
I was just wanting to make a comment about it's just getting overboard on us, you know, that people just need to listen and stay, you know, listen to just think responsibly and use your common sense, you know, wash your hands, keep yourself clean, keep yourself disinfectant, you know, keep your things around your house disinfectant and wiped off and clean, keep everything around you disinfectant, wiped off and clean, wear gloves, if you have to, wear a mask, but don't take the mask from the doctors. They need those right now.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm saying. You know, people are just going bonkers and they're not thinking straight, you know?
Yeah, I think we have the ability to be responsible up to a certain point.
Everybody's irresponsible right now. It's like, especially the toilet paper incident. That's totally irresponsible, you know?
It is. It's kind of sad, too, you know, considering that there's going to be people out there that need it. And someone's going out and buying a truckload of it just because, you know, I heard the psychology
good
of
things
it
we buy. Good thing my gal and they're talking. Well, good things we bought in bulk because they took all the toilet paper.
Yeah, and it was Fred Bottomer has been doing some excellent work here. He's our health editor, and he was talking about the psychology of it and the reason why people decide to hoard this stuff is because it feels like they have control over something. They can't control the virus. They can't control the shutdowns, but they can control how much toilet paper they buy. So that's what they do to make up for it, which is kind of a psychological, a sad psychological thing. And we all feed into it. As soon as we see someone else grabbing one, we think about it and like, oh boy, I better do it too.
I think I read on Facebook where some of the people that hoarded the toilet paper is trying to return it. They won't return it. They told them, nope, we're not returning it.
This is not, yeah, exactly. They shouldn't do it. No, the cleaning supplies, things like that, no thanks. The supplies there, I mean, they just have to get it back on the shelf. And we shouldn't be.
Yeah, oh yeah, we got plenty of supplies in the world. It's not like we're shortage of it, but it's just getting it back there, like you say, getting back on the shelves, getting the people are working overtime to try to get back on the shelves too. You know,
yeah, exactly. Thanks,
and
Brian.
I go to Dollar General, and then when I go to Dollar General, I say 1 minute it's gone, and next minute it's there when they get a truck, and then all of a sudden the next hour or two it's gone.
There it is. Thanks, Brian. Good to hear from you.
Bye. You have a good one, buddy. Good to hear from you too.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Part of it is I went to Target, I think, on Friday to get a couple of things I needed to. And first thing, right when you walk in, lady says, we don't have any toilet paper. Very first thing. So they let you know on the offset. So they were telling you, I did go to Walgreens for something, and I came in, and I think they had individual rolls for like 50 cents a roll. So some people were buying. Well, they were wrapped in everything. It's not like they opened one up and they were selling them, you know, singles or whatever. But they were trying to find ways to keep this in. You know, once it hits there, sometimes it's like, you know, the new shipment comes in and they can't even get it on the shelf. There's people there sitting waiting to see as soon as that cart rolls in. They want to grab whatever they can off of it, if they need it or not, which is really sad. All right, we're going to be back in the next hour. Our friend Drex, we hook up with them in Canada. Oh, I love this. And you know, one of the nice things, oh, don't worry about it, Ben, it's too late. But one of the nice things is that we always do this, and don't go anywhere in Overnight America.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.